for these wonderful people, for this wonderful place. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to gather together in your name to worship you. We ask now that you would be with us, that you would open up our hearts, our minds, and our souls to hear and to receive your message of grace, mercy, and love. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Well, good morning. You know, I have had some interesting experiences this week. Do you want to hear about some of them? Okay. For my son's birthday, which was on November 17th, we decided, you know, instead of getting him presents, maybe that was our first mistake, instead of giving him presents, we were going to give him the gift that he truly loves, the gift of shopping. Ooh. I would never want that gift. We gave him, we went ahead, instead of getting presents, we got him a Visa card, prepaid Visa card. And we said, here you go. Happy birthday. We're giving you the gift of shopping. He's also really difficult to buy presents for. Okay? And so he decided, we asked the kids, you know, on Saturdays, what do you want to do? Let's go do something as a family. He said, I want to go shopping. And I said, oh, dear Lord. Okay. So we did that. We did that. We went shopping. We drove to Target. And after about 30 minutes of looking for a place to park, found a place to park, and we went into the store where Mayhem was located. I'll tell you what. The crowd at Target yesterday was incredible. And the amount of, I guess, elbowing and shoving and cutting people off, you know, in the fast lane of the carts of Target and, you know, doing all that stuff, it gets kind of overwhelming. But we still had this goal. We had to find some things for my son to buy with his special Visa card, his credit card, as he liked to say. It's exciting for an 11-year-old, right? I couldn't believe the amount of people there who were shopping for Christmas presents and for who knows what else. Christmas dinners, Advent dinners, I don't know. But it was almost overwhelming. And then you add on, you know, the bright fluorescent lights, it kind of almost sucked the will out of my body. I mean, truly, I found myself getting, I'm pushing the cart, sleepier and sleepier as we're walking the aisles, you know. So he found some things that he wanted to buy. But it really, you know, seeing all of that, ending up in the Christmas section where he could hardly walk, really brought to mind for me what the holiday season is all about, right? We think about Advent, and we come from a Christian perspective. We should, our lens should be anticipating Jesus' coming. Anxiously anticipating Jesus' birth. Right? Yeah. That's where we come from. Yet we get stuck in the hubbub also of shopping and consumerism and blah, blah, blah. Now, this is not a sermon against consumerism and shopping. I want to make that clear. I'm just using that as an analogy to what I'm going to talk about next. As I was walking through the Christmas section, I came across the Advent calendars. How many of you have an Advent calendar at home? What when you open up the Advent, one of the doors, what's behind the door?
A picture.
A picture of what?
My
cool. Chocolate.
It was an angel.
It was an angel is born. Chocolate. You know, there's this interesting phenomenon, and I kind of noticed it last season, but now it's kind of all in your face. As I was, I decided to Google Advent calendar. And I am so shocked and surprised at how Advent calendars have become secularized. Have you noticed that? Here, let me read you some of the Advent calendars I found. And boy, I'll tell you, they sound really rather exciting. Some of them I couldn't even put on here. Truth. Whiskey Advent calendar. Every day you get a bottle of whiskey, a little one. Okay? $170. Christian Dior Advent calendar. I have no idea what would be in it, but it looked pretty fancy. $425. 24 days, you get to be fancy. Macy's Clarins Advent calendar. A bunch of like beauty products. You never know what you're going to get. $125. A Scotch Advent calendar. $170. Instead of whiskey, you get Scotch. Bourbon Advent calendar. Instead of Scotch or whiskey, you get bourbon. $157. Tell me if you know the difference between a regular whiskey Advent calendar and a boutique whiskey Advent calendar. Because the boutique whiskey Advent calendar is $110 more. $280. And then finally, the big one, the wine calendar. You go, yay, ooh. Let's see if you say that now. Every day for 24 days, you get a bottle of wine, a whole bottle, $500. $500. It's amazing to me that really this season in the church year has been kind of commandeered by secularism to make money, right? Making money off of Advent. Now I've seen it all. Most of the world doesn't even know what Advent is unless you're Lutheran or Catholic or, you know, a Protestant. It really, truly, it's amazing to me. It's absolutely amazing to me. And then you throw in with all the ads on Facebook and on Instagram, and, you know, it's everywhere. It's everywhere now. In the gospel lesson today, we hear this for the first Sunday of Advent. But about the day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. Jesus is not talking about the need for sleep, for survival, for the human body. He's not talking about that. He is referring to a state of unpreparedness. The call to be aware here in this gospel lesson is a call against something that I find very fascinating. It's a call against spirit being spiritually asleep. Have you ever thought of that? What does it mean to be spiritually asleep? When I think of that topic, that theme, I think of complacency. Right? That's the first word that popped into my brain, is complacency. Being spiritually asleep means doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again to where it starts to mean nothing because we do it the same way every time. Have you ever experienced that? Where you begin to say words, maybe in church, and you suddenly are saying them out of memorization, right? You know the words, you say the words, but you forget what the words mean. That's one aspect of being spiritually asleep, if you ask me. Another aspect would be to be complacent in your daily life, in your relationship with God, putting it on the back burner, putting it aside. That's not being spiritually awake. Keep alert, pray, and work. The question is, are we to sit idly by waiting for the coming of Jesus? No. Jesus expects us to do the work that he entrusted to us. so that when he comes at any hour of the day, he will find us taking care of this world as his trustees. We need to pray and work as though Jesus is returning every day at any moment. Now, passing judgment on who is deserving of our help and who is not our job. God is God and we are not. Any of you God out there? I'm not God. You're not God. None of us are God. It is not our job to judge others. We are called to alleviate the pain and the suffering, the hunger and the misery of our fellow human beings, and to stand up for injustice and to stand up for inequality anywhere that it is present. Because we're told, anytime we care for one of the least of these, you remember this reading from last week, anytime we care for one of the least of these, we are caring for Jesus. It's not enough to wish and pray that things would go better in our world. We have to make the effort to make things better for our fellow human beings, both here and far away. We have to make the effort. We need to be able to, what did we talk about last week? We need to see the issue, right? We need to have compassion on the person or persons. And we need to take action to help. Celebrating Advent means being able to wait in awe each year, opening our hearts to God's word and love, allowing God to transform us more and more in the process so that we can all be instruments of God's will in this hurting world. Slow down. It's kind of what the Advent season is asking us. Slow down. Take it easy. Chill out, Pastor Joel. Slow down. Open your hearts to allow God to fill you with his love and to fill you with his joy. And you'll truly find happiness not found in any amount of material things that we might try to purchase to fill up that hole that we might be experiencing in our life. One of my favorite 20th century theologians, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he summarizes the correct celebration of Christmas the best, I find. And I'm going to leave you with this quote. Who will celebrate Christmas correctly? The answer is whoever finally lays down all power, all honor, all reputation, all vanity, all arrogance, all individualism beside the manger of Jesus Christ.